Grace you in peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. Last week in our lesson, we met the widow who had given her last 2 lepta, 2 half pennies, and put it in the temple treasury. To build up, we talked the institution. And this morning, we get the little apocalypse. Jesus and his disciples, as they walk out of the temple, one of the disciples looks at the enormity of that building and says, "Lord, how great are these stones?" Country boys coming to the city. "Look how big the buildings are." They must have seemed to the disciples, and everyone who saw those great stones must have seemed invincible. Those great rocks piled one upon another, impenetrable, permanent, enduring. Sometimes it's hard for us to imagine until you've been seen in person these great stones. It's just hard for us to imagine. Probably the closest I've ever been is when you go and you're, you know, bopping around Europe sometime, go to one of the castles. I remember being in one of the castles in Germany, and the guide said, "Now at this point, the castle wall is 40 feet deep. 40 feet of solid rock. Stone upon stone, each one set without benefit of machinery, tractors, whatever. Just built." Like the disciples, those castles must have seemed just impenetrable. In fact, For the temple, folks had spent their entire lives, in some cases, doing nothing more than building that temple. They had centered their lives around it as a community, even in some ways worshipped that great and impenetrable building. If you know your history, you know that the temple in Jerusalem had become a center of commerce and business. It had also become a center of community and ideas and innovation, but it was also the place that preserved tradition and religion. And sometimes they even worshiped there. If you look at this great building, it had become a symbol of God's power, even in the midst of Roman occupation. It was huge. So for Jesus to walk out of that temple and talk about, "Well, these stones, you know, in 3 days, one will not be left upon another. They will all be destroyed," almost as if with a sweep of the hand, one could topple down
the stones.
Sorry, I don't know what's going on with this microphone. I'll keep pulling this thing down and hoping for the best. So for Jesus, he was speaking blasphemy. He was telling them that the building, the institution, all that they had held dear would somehow find its demise. Well, we have some of those same great buildings of our own. Incidentally, if you hang around Europe very long, you will notice that those great giant castles with their 40-foot walls, that probably when they built them, they never expected that they would be able to be torn down, are mostly rubble. Those great institutions, those great places of commerce and power, are little more than heaps of stone. Do we have those same kinds of great institutions, great symbols of power in our own life? Well, of course, we do. Sometimes our center of everything can be around wealth or fame or security or family or any of those things that we set up as that which we trust more than anything else, the thing that will never go away, that will always be there for us. Even our church. In the children's sermon, which I didn't get to do for you, I had the kids come over to the wall and try and push it down. And they tried mightily. Even the fat boy put his weight into it, and I could not get that bugger to go. And I asked them, I said, if the whole building fell down, if all that we hold dear, sorry, Mark, but, you know, the organ fell into dust and the choir loft collapsed and the building was swept away by a storm. Well, I mean, it just might, but hang on to your hat, folks. And the building, the whole building got destroyed. Would we still be the church? And the little girl said, well, there's another church. And I said, well, what if that one then got destroyed and everything was destroyed? She said, we just go to another one. And then I taught them the little, you know, here's the church, here's the steeple. When Jesus talks about destroying the temple of his own body and building it up again, when that image of crashing down all the things that we hold dear and mighty, when all of that comes to pass, it turns out that in the end, the building is nothing. That so often we build our lives and our hopes and our dreams on that which does not matter. Andrew Carnegie, late 1800s and early 1900s. Y'all know who he was, Scottish-American industrialist. Used to lay in bed at night figuring out how to make better steel, as one does. And he made a lot of money. I think they said something like $730 million. Now imagine that in 1910 dollars, right? That's billions and billions of dollars. And in one of his writings, he said, you know what? Every person should spend the first third of their life learning everything that they can. And the second third of their life, earning as much money as they possibly can. And then the last third of their life, giving it away. Sounds pretty good. But I wonder in Jesus' economy if that's really what we're called to. Carnegie spent his life building symbols of invincibility. Giant buildings, wonderful libraries, all that kind of stuff. I laughed to read in my research for my sermon that at one point he created this wonderful, actually it's now TIAA-CREF, came out of the Carnegie thing. But he would give these wonderful music grants to institutions, but he made religious colleges cut off their association with the religious organization if they were going to get his money. And then he proceeded to fund over 2,000 church organs. I don't get it. But he represented really that ideal, that sense that you can build for yourself a building that is impenetrable. But the Mark and Jesus sees this apocalypse coming. Because you remember what happens in 70 AD? Do you remember the historians, Jim? The very temple whose stones seemed so impenetrable, whose stones were so huge, so impossibly wonderful, that symbol of God's power and God's presence in the middle of Jerusalem, the siege of Jerusalem begins. And the Romans will destroy it all. And they will, in fact, in what was left, they will erect statues to their own gods. It is that little apocalypse that the Jesus of Mark seems to know about. It's a sea change that no one expects. That the priests in their long robes and the chief priests and the scribes and the city full of people had no idea could happen. But it did. The temple will fall because temples always fall. Castles always end up in ruin. And so often the things that we hold most dear fail us. Now it's easy to think that maybe that this is a moral tale. That the problem is that we have too much devotion to our stuff or to our things or to our building, which is true. But I don't think that's what Jesus is getting at. I think what Jesus is really getting at is, in whom will we trust? And how will we live our lives in response to God's presence? What if what Jesus is really getting at isn't all that far from Carnegie, but maybe it's a little different. Maybe we're supposed to spend the first third of our life, the first third of our life, learning to love like children do. Right? I mean, think about your childhood. Some of it was good and some of it was bad, but what we yearn most as a child is to be loved by someone. And what if we spent the second third of our life creating places where love can be shared? In the end, that's what happens with the destruction of the temple. The people of God find themselves becoming the church because of people, not buildings, to place their trust in God and not in institutions. So what if in the second third of our life, the part a lot of us are in now, well, some of us are a little past the second third, but it's close, you can see it from here. What if in that second third, what we're supposed to be doing is creating places like this, where people can encounter Christ and be fed and then feed others? What if our goal is not to create yet another cathedral, but to be that cathedral for our community? And then what if Jesus is calling us in the last third of our life to teach love? To teach love. To help the world understand that all of the things that we've been pursuing, the stuff and the security and the power, all of that has led us really nowhere. It's not a panacea by any means, but I have in my imagination that in a world where we learn to love as children and create places of love as adults and teach love as old people in the last part of our life, that the walls of hatred and misogyny and the great heavy stones of prejudice and the institutions that are death-dealing can begin to come tumbling down. That love puts its shoulder to that which is not of God and pushes down the walls. The temple can be a fine and beautiful place, but it neither defines or creates God. But in Jesus Christ, we are called in all the thirds of our life not to make the most of ourselves, but to make the most of our neighbor, that the world might be healed as we become more and more the body of Christ. Amen.